brief moment to enjoy there while I wasn't talking. So. As always, thank you for being here. It is, as always, wonderful to be out. Appreciate so much your desire to come and serve God, and it certainly is a privilege to be able to do so. This morning I was thinking about several things when I thought about this lesson. Song number 432 is a song that is... And last week I talked about songs and singing and how important it is that the words have to be words that that God would approve of, not whether we approve of them or not, but have to be words that God would approve of. But number 432 talks about the young, and it says, "How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules imparts to keep the conscience clean. 'Tis like the sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day, and through the dangers of the night, a lamp to lead our way. Thy word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age." When we think of this song and we think about young people, certainly I don't teach a lot of lessons directed to a particular age group, but the question is asked, how shall the young secure their hearts? And what we find in 1 Timothy 4 is Paul writing to Timothy. And when he wrote this letter to Timothy, you know, Timothy was not young like we think of. He was certainly would be considered a little bit older nowadays. But when we look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And how's that going to be made possible? The 13th verse tells us, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Seems like a simple formula. You would think that people in the world looking for how to live their lives would, instead of choosing a bunch of other things, would look at what God has to say. I'm going to say some things that are pretty obvious. Everyone was young once. The truth is, and surprisingly, I'm sure that a lot of young people look up and go, "Well, that, he could never have been young like me." Well, yes, I actually was. Youth is usually discussed in the Bible as anyone under the age of 30 or 35, and sometimes even 40. When you look back at Mosaic law, they did not go into serving in the temple until they were 30, and between the ages of 30 and 50, they served in the temple. And so what we find is, this is a relative term when talking about youth. God looks at it differently than we do. And when I think about it sometimes, I am young compared to some friends of mine. We have a friend that's in her 90s. Glenda's mother's in her 90s. And compared to that, I'm young. But I'm not compared to most people. Most people are much younger than me. Timothy still talked about as being young in this verse. And it was a concern of Paul's that he would not maybe stand for things the way he should. And there's some warnings about that because of a concern that Paul didn't have about himself. Because even though he had to buffet his body daily, he knew that there were some things in his that he had passed because he was older. And the truth is, youth is fleeting. It doesn't last very long looking back. And when I was young, it seemed like it was forever. But now that I've passed it up, it doesn't. Jesus is described as one who grew in wisdom and stature in Luke 2:52. As a human, he had to mature. He grew up as a human, so he had to do that as a human. He secured his life, his heart early in life, and he lived his life without sin. So here's a young man who did everything that he should as a human being. He provided the highest standard for us to try and attain. If we're going to look at anyone, let's look at him. But the truth is, we just have to start young and continue to remain strong throughout our lives. And that's a very important thing. There are many advantages to being young. Many of them. Intuitively obvious, one is you're not old. Now, that might seem funny when I say that, but actually in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, why does he make this statement? In the book of Ecclesiastes, for everyone, and I know most that have studied the Bible will know this up front, The truth is with this that he's talking about life here on this earth, life under the sun as he describes it. He's talking about a physical life we live. Now, how do you do that? And he says, starts out with, remember your Creator. Doesn't that sound so simple? We talk about this all the time. Just remember your Creator. That's the basis of everything. And if we don't have that in our lives, the rest of this isn't going to amount to very much. When do you start? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Why would you do that? Because the evil days draw nigh, or the difficult days draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. When you're living life under the sun, young people, enjoy it. God put you here to enjoy those things. He put you here because one day you're not going to be young anymore, and He expects you to do that. If you turn to Ecclesiastes 11, you know, and again, as humans have split up these verses, we find that there's a very important passage of Scripture to young people. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, it would go right into chapter 12, but most of the time we don't do that. We typically do 12:1. But he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Now, why does he say that? Well, he talked about, and I'm going to go back to 7 and 8. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. In other words, just living under the sun is such a beautiful thing. When we live here, God put us here for a reason. He meant for us to enjoy this. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all. In other words, if you live to be extremely old and you actually rejoice in all of those, something to remember. Let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. He's saying, why would he want us to remember that? I mean, most of us want to have good memories. Well, he's saying that because he doesn't want us to repeat those days if we brought them on ourselves. To remember what God did for us. To remember really the opposite of that. So if we remember the bad, what does it always tell us? There's always more good than there is bad. For they will be many, all that is coming is empty. Vanity. It's empty. Now, rejoice, O man, in your youth, O young man. And by the way, just not men, it's all men and women. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Cody was talking about this in the lessons, but walk in the ways of your heart. Now, he's going to go on later and describe that a little bit. But the truth is, you have to. Because this is the only thing that got us, our minds. We don't have anything else. We have people trying to help us, but in reality, it has to come from here. And we'll discover later how that works. And in the sight of your eyes. So, he's saying, you know, Andrew, James, think about it for a moment. What you have to do with this is you have to walk using your head, watching where you're going, and then remember this. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So he's saying, young people, start right now thinking about the Creator. Remember Him in everything that you do. Remove sorrow from your heart. It'll do it. If I'd have been smarter, wiser, and used the knowledge and understanding that I had been taught, there would have been a lot of things that I would never have done. How about you? There have been a lot of things I wouldn't have had to suffer through. How about you? And put away evil from your flesh. Why? Because childhood and youth are empty. They're vanity. Looking back, it's gone. I can't go back. So I'm telling you today, don't do those things. Not a one of them. Follow your Lord and Savior. Now, with that warning that He gives, and the warning I just gave, it's still difficult, isn't it? What's another advantage? Well, another advantage to this is that when you're young, both men and young men and young women, all they brag about their strength. You know, they've got the strength to do things, and they can just go, and they'll just wear you out. That's why it's better to have children when you're young. I can't keep up with my grandchildren. This is not possible. I mean, it just isn't going to happen. And what happens to us? Well, the strength isn't there anymore. Not the way it was. Proverbs 20, verse 29, he says this, the glory of young men is their strength. It's really the glory of young people. They're so proud of themselves that they can do all of this. And I will go ahead and read the next part of it. The splendor of old men is their gray hair. Head. Okay, so then we find that we have less physical problems, as a rule, when we're young. And that does not say that there are some young people who have some extremely difficult physical problems. But in Ecclesiastes 12, 2 through 7, he goes through a whole list of things that talk about the breakdown of the body. And how, as we get older, it just doesn't work the same way that it used to work on any of us. I don't care how healthy we are, it just doesn't work as well. And soon, one day, it just doesn't work at all. When we think about it, the confidence is there in the young people. I don't think that my one granddaughter has any fear of anything. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I think she would climb to the highest whatever. Just no, none. In 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7, we find Jonathan there and his young sword bearer being with him. Just two of them. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the confidence this young man had. Now, it was in God. I understand that. But the Philistines are there. He goes, look, basically, my dad's not doing anything right now on this. Let's go on in there and do something. And our pond is about maybe a quarter of an acre. And if you double that pond, it says within a half acre, he and his sword bearer went in and killed 20 of them. Now, what would most older people... Now, wait, we got to think about this for a moment. This is not something we want to do, but the confidence was there. He thought he could do it. How about David in 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37? Confidence. He said, I can take care of this Goliath for you. Why? Look, I've killed lions and bears and... Oh, you know, he didn't kill bears, but he was making a statement about all the things that he had killed. He believed he could do it. He said, I can do this. And that's it. Young people... You know why they don't send older people into battle? I think we'd be better off if we sent the older people into war, don't you? Because it wouldn't last very long. We'd just be pooped and we'd go off to the side and just relax. But that's not what happens with young people. That's why we do it. They're confident. They think they can do this. But you can also have spiritual strength. Of course, in 1 John 2:12 through 14, and again, I believe he's not just saying young men. He's talking about young people. And he says... They can overcome the wicked one. They can be the strong ones. They can stand for truth. They can be the strong ones. And he said, you've known that. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, in verse 14. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Young people, be the strong ones. Stand for what's right. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what older people might be doing that might be wrong. You stand for truth. Now, there's some disadvantages to being young. Desire is a lot stronger. He'll talk about in Ecclesiastes 12, desire fails after a while. Young, older people, it just goes away because where is it anymore? But desire starts young. In Genesis 8, in a discussion about why he had destroyed the world and about the flood and all of that, here's what he said. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord, this is because Noah had built an altar, said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. When does it start? It starts when people are young. When they don't control all of this, when they don't remember their Creator, it's a big disadvantage because they don't have all to work with, all the tools that they will develop if they'll do what God says. In Job 13, Job talked about this, and he was talking to his so-called friends there, and he said, you know, you're just bringing all this up, and you're talking about the fact that I was young once, and I didn't do everything right, for you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. Why would we mention that so much? It's because when most of us look back, and we think about sin in our life, for the most part, we think of when we were young. I'm not saying I don't still sin. But I'm saying a lot of that went away from me. I don't have those desires anymore. I don't have the desires to do certain things that we'll talk about later. We sing a song where we say, remember not the sins of my youth. And I cannot remember the name of that song right now, but I was thinking about it earlier and I thought, why would we sing that song? It's because, guess what? When we were younger, It was so much easier to engage in sin. All the desire was there to do it. I wanted things, and so I desired them, and I went after it. And that goes back to this idea of self-gratification. And it just bothers me, I don't know about the rest of you, all of these ads, all of these sayings that teach young people, please yourself. You do what you need to do to make yourself happy. The things they're talking about will not make you happy. Happiness doesn't come from those things, but boy, they can sure sell it. And when we look at this in Proverbs 2:16 through 20, he talks about to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor will they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness. He said there's a choice in this. You want to gratify self? You want to gratify? Boy, and have we preached that? It is an idea of it. Do whatever you want to. When you're young, just make sure you don't get pregnant. Or make sure you don't do this. Or make sure you don't do that. And I would argue that the Bible clearly teaches, and we can clearly see that there's less acquired wisdom in young people. It takes time to get a lot of wisdom. It takes time. And when we look at this, I would encourage all young people, be around some older people who have some wisdom. See what it took to get there. They'll tell you how to avoid some pitfalls. They'll tell you, for instance, how we talk about financial things, for instance. Those are just things under the sun. There are wise older people who have gone through a lot of this and can say, hey, this is the way to do this. But he talks about that in Proverbs 2, 1 through 9, where he says, go after wisdom. Now, we've studied this on Wednesday night in adult class, but it made me think, we don't study this then with the younger people unless we're taking this home with us and talking to our children. Because it says, and again, he says, my son, but it obviously just all young people, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Now, how do you do that? Well, as a young person, we'll talk later about some ways we can do this, but it is not a matter of just sitting there hoping it just enters your head. There are ways to get this wisdom. Again, seek after people who you look up to because they're trying to live a godly life and ask them. Ask them how to do things. Or if it's just physical things under the sun, get some wisdom from those things. Ask how it is to be done. Before you grab a hold of a hot wire trying to figure out how to wire something up, call someone that knows how to do that, like Mark. Figure it out before you just do that. Because I'll guarantee you, he's been shocked a few times because it's just a natural thing. But he'll tell you ways to avoid that. If you seek her as silver, talking about wisdom, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and that's exactly what Cody said in the class this morning. But it's not a matter of just sitting there waiting on it. But it will be Him that gives wisdom. He'll give it through His Word. He'll give it through other human beings who have attained this wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the ways of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. You want to understand all these beautiful principles in life? That's the way you'll do it. When Roger was, some of the things he talked about in his prayer today. That's how it works. That's how we gain it. That's the only way we'll gain it. As young people, that's what you need to seek after. And I know when I was growing up, I heard lessons about this, and I thought, yeah, right, I've got it. It's much easier for me looking back. 7:7. And saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. And he goes on to talk about why he had a lack of understanding. Why he got into sin in the first place. Is this limited to young people? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is much easier for young people to fall into these things and suffer the consequences of them. It is much easier than later on. And submission is so difficult. I'll tell you, I just knew that my parents had to be some of the dumbest people I'd ever met in my life. I did not understand why they made certain choices. I just could not figure that out. And all of us probably have heard what Mark Twain said. He said when he was 20 years old, his parents were the dumbest people he ever met in his life. He said when he reached 21, he was amazed how much they had learned in 1 year. And that's true, isn't it? When we think about life, isn't that the way we look at it? And that's sad. And we'll talk about later, don't be that way. But in 22:21, this is what it's about. We want our independence. He said, this has been your manner from your youth that you did not obey my voice. Why? What is it about that? Well, when we're young, we can do it all. We don't need anyone. We don't need someone telling us what to do. We know exactly what to do. We are so much smarter than everybody else around us. And I was. I knew I was until I got older. And then I thought, that wasn't too smart at all. Same thing in 32:30 where he makes that same statement. And this wanting independence, it is a natural thing. God expects that because he built us that way, that at some point we wouldn't still be in our parents' house. We would be out. But we'll never be truly independent. We are always dependent. We're always dependent on other people and especially God. We need him for every aspect of our life. And we can't get away from that whether we obey him or not. It'll never happen. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. It's a warning. It certainly is. And in Proverbs 30, he says exactly the same thing, 15 through 17. Talks about children who just so mistreat their parents, who don't understand that their parents are trying their best to do everything right and work so hard at it. But all of us as parents know. The children are going to reach a certain age, and what's going to happen? Well, they're going to decide what they're going to do. We can't lead someone else's life, and that's the way it should be. And that's the way God designed it. And in, he says in this 30:15 through 17 that I think it's the ravens or something will come along and pick out their eyes, or the young eagles. The ravens will pick them out, and the young eagles will eat it. And all he's saying is, sooner or later, you'll reap what you sowed on that. And isn't that true? Don't you just say, well, I can hardly wait till my children have children, and then they'll see. It's easy to succumb to peer pressure. I mean, we look at it and we think about it, and here in 28:7, whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons changes his father. I don't think he's talking about overeating here. I think he's talking about being gluttonous in our life. I want, I want, I want, and why do I do it? Because I run around with other people who want. I got to have everything. And trust me, it'll get you in trouble. He says that in Proverbs 1, 10 through 19, about be careful. These young people are out there, and it's been particular young men, and they'll go, let's go kill someone and take what belongs to them. And we would say, that surely wouldn't happen. Oh, it happens all the time. We see it throughout society everywhere. They'll kill someone over $10, and it's shameful. And the problem is, on their own, they probably wouldn't do that. I know there's some people out there with mental problems, but for the most part, no. But they start running around with people who will. And they'll take from other people. They'll take from older people. They'll take what doesn't belong to them. And they'll kill for it. And it's shameful. Another thing about it is just a different way of thinking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it's a principle taught about how the new law is coming. And it's being written down. And when it does come in its fullness, then it'll be better than what he has, which is just a partial. And he says in this, when I was a child, what did he do? Well, he thought as a child. And he basically acted as a child. He spoke as a child. But he says, when I became a man, I put away childish things, showing the difference between as we mature and as we grow up. We should reach a time when adulthood comes, and not adulthood in the sense of chronological adulthood, but adulthood in the sense of growing up mentally. And sometimes we find that young people, and Linda and I were talking about this yesterday, we just see in some young people no respect whatsoever. For adults, no respect for people around them. They just treat them like they're nothing. And in 2 Kings 2:23 and 24, when they called Elisha there, they said, called him, I think they said, old bald head or some derogatory term that they thought would put him down, a prophet of God. Not that it mattered whether he was a prophet of God or not. What ended up happening? Well, he said, cursed them, and a she-bear came out, I think, mauled 20 of them and killed them. And you think about this for a minute, what does that say? God wouldn't have done that. if not for the fact that these were going to be unrepentant young people who were growing up to be the same way. You don't become disrespectful at 60 if you haven't been disrespectful usually when you were young. Be respectful. God expects it. The years in which so many things are so important framing our lives as adults are often spent in folly. I mean, we do frivolous things, and hey, you know what I'm going to talk about later? Enjoy that. It's the frivolous things. We are. But it can't be all that way. We tend to be more gullible, more frivolous, more stubborn in our ways when we're young. I mean, I'll give up on things now that I used to would never have given up on. I would have said, no, we're going to do it my way or not. But now, no. I understand the value of that with God on our side. One can be the type of young person that God will be pleased with, but only if God's on our side. Then when one is in adulthood, it'll be easier to resist the evil one. If we start out young enough, resistance builds up. If you get the right kind of shots when you're young, and I'm not saying those are great or not, I'm not arguing the point because I know all the discussion about that. But regardless of that, if you can build up immunity, we protect our kids too much, and if they don't build up these immunities, guess what? They get older, they get everything. Huh. Isn't that true? Don't take your shots. You don't build up this immunity. If you don't have a defense, you'll fall for anything. Question is, if you started on the right path today, have you submitted to the will of the Father? Are you His child, which is much more important than being the child of a human being? We become a child of a human being, but to become a child of God, we have to be born again. Easy thing to do. But it starts here, and that's where it's difficult. I have to have the right kind of faith. And when that faith grows strong enough, when that seed is in there, you know what I'll do? I'll start accepting it. And then I'll realize I need to make some changes. I need to change. I need to turn from sin, turn toward God. That's repentance. I need to confess that He's the Son of God. Then I need to be immersed in water for remission of my sins. And as a child of His, you notice we never get beyond being a child with God. As a child of His, then, I need to constantly get all of this out of me as His child. I don't care if I'm reach the age of 100. I got to get it out of me. And I need to continually repent of my sins, confess my sins, and pray for them or have someone pray for me. If you have any needs, please let us know while we stand.